It is late August, the kind of heat that feels heavy, like a wet wool blanket pressed against your face. I am standing at the edge of what should have been my legacy, a 3-year-old asparagus bed that I had poured my soul, my sweat, and several $100 into. But instead of the lush, feathery canopy that signals a healthy perennial system, I am looking at yellowed, spindly stalks that look more like dried-up toothpicks than a powerhouse of nutrition. I followed the books, I dug the trenches, I even bought the high-end compost. But in this moment, the realization hits me like a physical blow. I didn't just lose a crop, I lost 3 years of my life that I can never get back. This is the sting of the mistake we are fixing today in Feed Yourself Forever, the perennial powerhouse. If you have ever felt the frustration of a garden that demands everything from you but gives back only a fraction in return, you are likely trapped in the annual cycle, the start-over culture that keeps homesteaders tired, broke, and hungry. We are taught to treat the garden like a factory. Input goes in, output comes out, and then we shut the lights off for the winter. But nature doesn't work in cycles of on and off. It works in layers of forever. That failure with my asparagus wasn't because I lacked effort. It was because I was deaf. I didn't know how to listen to the soil. And more importantly, I didn't notice the garden ghost. Right now, somewhere in your yard or your dream plot, there is a hidden signal, a strange, almost metallic scent that rises from the earth after a heavy rain. It's subtle, like the smell of a penny dropped in a glass of water. Or perhaps it's a specific discoloration on the underside of a leaf that most people dismiss as a simple bug bite. We are going to ignore the what of that signal for a while, but I want you to keep it in the back of your mind. There is a specific plant in the perennial world that actually screams when the soil is dead, and if you don't hear it, every tree, bush, and vine you plant will eventually meet the same fate as my first asparagus patch. Let's talk about the philosophy of the farm fresh way. Most of the world is fed by big ag, a system built on high-density monocrops and heavy machinery. It is a system of violence. We rip the soil open with tillers, we douse it in chemical fertilizer, and we demand that the earth perform on our schedule. Think about a tiller for a second. It doesn't just turn dirt, it acts like a giant blender, liquefying the mycorrhizal networks that took years to build. When you till, you are essentially nuking the internet of the soil. But a homestead isn't a factory, it's an ecosystem. When you plant an annual, like a tomato or a head of lettuce, you are entering into a short-term contract. It's a one-night stand. You provide everything, the water, the food, the protection, and the plant gives you one harvest and then dies. But a perennial? That is a marriage. When you plant a perennial powerhouse, you are building an asset that grows in value every single year. Imagine a food source that wakes itself up in the spring, defends itself against pests, and produces more food in year 10 than it did in year 1, all while you are still sipping coffee on the porch. That is the perennial promise. But most people fail because they try to force perennials into an annual mindset. They dig a tiny hole, drop in a buridzi bush, and walk away. They treat it like a decoration. The struggle of big ag is the struggle against nature. The success of homesteading intuition is the art of joining it. You have to stop thinking about what you can get from the ground and start thinking about how you can support those invisible fungal threads. When those threads are broken, your perennials are living in a sensory deprivation tank. They can't find water, they can't find minerals, they are starving in a sea of dirt. I want you to close your eyes and imagine the smell of a summer storm hitting parched, dusty earth. That petrichor smell isn't just a pleasant aroma, it's the sound of the earth exhaling. It's the literal vibration of microbes waking up from a slumber. When you have a perennial powerhouse system, that smell is a celebration, not a desperate gasp for life. Let's get into the tactical deep dive, the war stories that the glossy gardening magazines won't tell you. I remember a neighbor of mine, a guy named Jim. Jim was a high-powered executive who wanted to build a food forest over a single weekend. He spent $5,000 on trees and bushes. He planted blueberries, raspberries, and hazelnuts. He laid down plastic landscape fabric and topped it with pretty red mulch. He wanted it to look like a golf course. 2 years later, half of it was dead, and the other half was stunted. Why? Because he built a prison, not a home. The plastic fabric choked the oxygen out of the soil. The red mulch was full of dyes and chemicals that killed the beneficial bacteria. He was treating his perennials like they were furniture. He didn't realize that a tree's roots need to breathe just as much as its leaves do. If you want to feed yourself forever, you have to start with the anchor crops. These are the plants that don't just provide food, they provide stability. The first on my list is always sunchokes, or Jerusalem artichokes. These things are indestructible. You plant them once, and they will likely outlive your mortgage. They produce massive tubers that taste like nutty potatoes, and they grow 8 feet tall with beautiful yellow flowers. But here is the war story warning. If you don't manage them, they will take over your entire life. I once saw a sunchoke patch migrate 20 feet in 2 seasons, lifting up a gravel walkway like it was nothing but a piece of paper. They are the terminators of the vegetable world. You have to respect the power of the perennial. You don't just plant them, you negotiate with them. Then there is the asparagus, the king of the spring. The secret I learned after my first failure? It's not about the trench, it's about the crowns. Most people buy one-year-old crowns because they are cheap, but those crowns have been ripped out of the ground, tossed in a bag, and dried out at a big box store. They are stressed, they are traumatized. Spend the extra money for 3-year-old crowns, or better yet, start them from seed in a nursery bed where they can develop their iodine levels without competition. And for heaven's sake, stop harvesting them the first year. You are asking a baby to run a marathon. Give them 2 years to just be. Let them turn into those big, beautiful ferns. Those ferns are solar panels. They are pumping energy down into the roots for the forever harvests. I am looking at a stalk right now. It's thick, vibrant, and when I press my thumbnail into it, it yields with a satisfying pop of moisture. That is what you are aiming for. And we can't talk about perennials without talking about the artichoke. In warmer climates, these are the showstoppers. But even in the north, you can find hard E varieties. The trick is the overwintering. Most people let the crown freeze and rot. But if you cut them back and cover them with a haystack of mulch, and I mean a literal mountain of straw, they will survive the deep freeze and come back stronger. I've seen artichoke plants that were 10 years old, with stalks as thick as a man's arm, producing 20 heads a season. That's not a garden plant. That's an employee that never asks for a raise and works through the holidays. I want to take a moment for a technical pro tip that most people miss. It's called nutrient stacking. When you plant a fruit tree, you shouldn't just leave grass around the base. Grass is a thief. It steals nitrogen. Instead, you plant nitrogen fixers, like gumi buris or sea buckthorn. These plants have a special relationship with bacteria in the soil that allows them to grab nitrogen from the air and pump it into the ground. It's like having a slow-release fertilizer spike that never runs out. This is how you build a powerhouse. You create guilds, communities of plants that support each other. If you are just planting a single tree in a hole in the grass, you are setting that tree up for a lifetime of struggle. I am kneeling in the dirt now. I can feel the grit under my fingernails and the coolness of the earth against my palms. I am pulling back a layer of wood chip mulch, and beneath it, the soil is dark, moist, and crawling with life. I see an earthworm, thick as a pencil, diving back into the darkness. I can smell the humus, that deep, chocolatey aroma of decay turning into life. This is the micro scene of a healthy system. This is what success feels like. It doesn't feel like a sterile lab. It feels like a forest floor. But here is the high-stakes failure warning. Many people get excited about perennials and plant everything at once. They plant 20 fruit trees, 50 berry bushes, and 100 strawberry plants. They think they are building a paradise, but they are actually building a maintenance nightmare. Perennials take less work than annuals over the long run. But in the first 3 years, they need you. They need watering during droughts. They need mulching to keep weeds down. If you plant more than you can manage, you will end up with a jungle of weeds and dead sticks. Start small. Plant one anchor crop a year. Master it, then move on. Now let's look toward the result. Imagine waking up in 5 years. Your yard isn't a series of empty brown squares waiting for seeds. It's a lush, tiered landscape. You have high canopy fruit trees like persimmons and pawpaws. You have mid-level berry bushes like hascaps and currants. And you have a ground cover of strawberries and rhubarb. This is the vision of a self-sustaining life. You aren't gardening anymore. You are harvesting. You are no longer a slave to the seed catalog or the fertilizer store. You have built a biological engine that runs on sunlight and rain. You are literally eating the interest on a biological bank account that you opened years ago. But remember the garden ghost? That mystery thread we started with? Let's reveal the master signal. In every perennial powerhouse, there is usually one plant that acts as the canary in the coal mine. For me, and for many successful homesteaders, that plant is comfrey. Comfrey is a dynamic accumulator. Its roots go down 10 feet, mining for minerals like potassium and calcium that other plants can't reach. But here is the secret. Comfrey is the plant that screams when the soil is dead. When your soil is compacted, when the mycorrhizal networks are broken, or when the carbon to nitrogen ratio is off, comfrey doesn't just wilt, it changes color in a very specific way. Remember that metallic scent I mentioned? That is the scent of the minerals staying locked in the dirt because there is no biology to move them. And the visual signal? The leaves will develop a ghostly white veining, almost like a skeletal map of the plant's circulatory system. This is the garden ghost. It's the plant literally showing you its bones because it can no longer find the nutrients to flesh out its leaves. Most people see this and think, oh, I need more water, or maybe it's a fungus. They go out and buy a spray, or turn on the hose. No, if you see the garden ghost in your comfrey, your soil is biologically dead. The invisible nutrient, the life force of the earth, has been depleted. The worms have left, the fungi have died. You are trying to grow a forest in a parking lot. If you ignore the ghost, your asparagus will fail. Your berry bushes will produce small sour fruit that the birds won't even touch. Your fruit trees will succumb to aphids and scale because they don't have the immune system to fight them off. The comfrey is your master signal. It is the bridge between the physical world and the biological world. When the comfrey is a deep, vibrant, almost electric green, and its leaves are the size of your forearm, you know your ecosystem is balanced. You have achieved the farm fresh goal. You have created a system where the invisible work is being done for you by billions of organisms you will never see. This is the shift from hobby to harvest. It's about moving away from the struggle and into the flow. When you embrace the perennial powerhouse, you are opting out of the fragile food system. You are building a fortress of nutrition. You are ensuring that no matter what happens in the world, whether the grocery store shelves are empty or the price of fertilizer triples, your family will be fed, not just this year, but forever. Think about the rhubarb for a second. I am standing over a massive Victoria rhubarb plant right now. The leaves are huge, like elephant ears, and the stalks are a deep ruby red. I reach down, grab a stalk at the base, and give it a firm twist. Snap! That clean, crisp sound is the sound of success. It's the sound of a plant that is so full of life it's bursting. That stalk is packed with oxalic acid and vitamins that were pulled from the deep earth by those perennial roots. This isn't just food, it's medicine. So here is my community challenge for you today. I want you to go out into your yard, even if it's just a small suburban patch with a single flower bed, and I want you to look for the garden ghost. Look at the veins in your leaves. Smell the soil after you water it. Is it sweet and earthy, or is it metallic and sharp? But more importantly, I want you to be honest with yourself. Tell me in the comments, what is the one crop you've given up on? Was it the blueberries that turned yellow? The fruit tree that never gave you a single apple before it withered away? I want to know if you think perennial gardening is the lazy man's way to farm, or if it's the only intelligent way left to survive in an uncertain world. Is it better to work hard every spring to start over, or is it better to do the hard work once and let the earth take over the heavy lifting? Let's talk about it. Let's figure out if you were hearing the screams of your soil, or if you were just looking for a quick fix in a bag of fertilizer. We are going to fix it together, one perennial at a time. Because once you plant for fewer, you never have to go hungry again.